Legendary doesn't happen by chance. It happens because it's what BetMGM does. Sign up for BetMGM and check out all the exciting new ways you can make this pro football season unforgettable. Shoot your shot with same-game parlays. Call your plays like a pro with live betting. Or bet on a market you didn't know existed thanks to BetMGM Originals. You'll be on the edge of your seat from the very first snap, no matter what type of fan you are. Earn BetMGM rewards points on every bet. Take advantage of football offers found nowhere else, like a second chance on a first touchdown bet. And keep an eye out for rewards dropping in your account throughout the season. Never settle for the ordinary. Sign up today. BetMGM. Make it legendary.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Specific promotional offers are not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
I thought it would be super cool one day to maybe, you know, own my own RIA and, you know, help like queer professionals or help people who just really, really want to give back to their communities, you know, and like heavy on philanthropy. And it's really cool because I've already chatted with some CFPs who have this specific niche.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I just wanted to give a shout out for anyone who is interested in being a guest. It is completely anonymous, so we'll let you choose a fake name and we will hide identifiable information so you can come on the show and share freely. It is a full hour to an hour and a half with me, Barbara, and we'll do a deep dive on your finances, where you're doing well, where maybe you're struggling, and come up with a game plan for how to reach your financial goals. To be a guest, you just need to put a submission in either on Instagram or on our website, www.futurerichpodcast.com. And you just need to be a female. As we've said before, this podcast is produced with Amy, Alex, and myself, so an all-female team. And our goal is to help improve financial education amongst women. So that is why we interview women about their finances. So if you're listening to this and you're interested in being a guest, please put in a submission on our website, www.futurerichpodcast.com, or send us a message on Instagram.
Hello, and welcome to Financials Podcast, Future Rich. I'm your host, Barbara Ginty, and I'm also a CFP. And I am here today with a former guest who is coming on to chat about maybe moving into the industry. So this is something that I have been asked about a lot before. So instead of doing a private chat, I asked if you would come on so we could discuss the industry as a whole and why I personally think it's a great career path. So welcome, Celine.
Great. Thanks for having me, Barbara.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So fill me in on what's going on. It's been a little bit since you've come on the pod, and tell me how you became interested in maybe, this is very different than what you are currently doing if you go the personal finance route.
Yes. So I'm currently an aircraft mechanic, which is a crazy pivot, I think. Anytime you go blue collar to white collar or vice versa, I think it's probably a huge, huge thing to get used to because, you know, you're used to an environment. I know in my environment, I'm wearing t-shirts, I'm wearing pants and cargo pants and, you know, those sorts of things. Coming into an environment where, you know, I may have to dress up a little bit more. Even the day-to-day, right, the small parts of it are pretty interesting to think about. But yeah, I the whole reason I listen to the show, I have a huge interest in personal finance. I'm originally from, you know, the Boglehead, Ramit Sethi side of things. And so it was really, really interesting to find my way into this field because obviously, I know like Ramit now, he'll suggest like flat fee advisors and all of that, but he's pretty staunchly against financial advisors and especially those who take AUM fees. But the more, you know, the more I looked into it, and at this point I've chatted probably with about 10 to 15 different CFPs. Everyone has just been so inviting and so eager to, you know, teach me about the field. And I find that as a green flag, quite frankly, because, you know, a lot of, I'm sure tech, I'm sure business, there's a lot of hoarding going on in terms of ideas and mindsets and success rates and, you know, all of these things. It's like, no, I don't want my competitors to know, you know, but I haven't come across any of that. And I think I found the right people to chat with. So that also has probably helped.
Yeah, I would agree. I would say overall, yeah, there's always in every industry going to be somebody who's not willing to share or not willing to help. I mean, I think that's just, those are probably just not nice people in general.
Yeah.
But I would say that, yeah, I have always found the field very welcoming, and shockingly, people are always offering to help. Like I could meet an advisor one time and then say, oh, could I call you about something? And absolutely take your call. We'll explain how they did it, why they think it worked. And honestly, I'm in a small town in upstate New York, and even here, I'm friends with the other advisors. We're friendly. Like one of my technically would be my biggest competitor. We meet at the local brewery like once a year. And
yeah,
I think that if you run a good business, as you were saying, like Remit Safety is very much against AUM. And I feel like I have a very strong argument for when AUM makes the most sense. And his audience, it probably doesn't make the most sense. So who he's speaking to, what he believes aligns with them. And I think that just like no one's personal finances are the same, not one way to get financial advice is going to be appropriate for everybody. You have to choose what you would like. And so,
honestly, that's what I find super interesting about niches is if you can, that like I have been delving into imagining, you know, different niches that I'd be interested in. And I, you know, some people get really specific. I chatted one of the first CFPs that I chatted with. He was telling me about his buddy who was an ex-nuclear engineer, and his niche was nuclear engineers who were 5 years away from retiring. And I was like, wow, that is a niche. And so that sort of inspired me to really think about the types of people that I want to attract and honestly that I want to work with. And I thought it would be super cool one day to maybe, you know, own my own RIA and, you know, help like queer professionals or help people who just really, really want to give back to their communities, you know, and like heavy on philanthropy. And it's really cool because I've already chatted with some CFPs who have this specific niche. And I'm like, wow, it already exists. That's actually incredible. Like these are people that, you know, are doing it and prove that it can be done, which is just awesome.
Yeah. And that's why it's not, I think that's why it's not so competitive, right? Because, you know, I know who I want to work with. And also, I will say that depending on how you run the business, there is a scale issue, right? So like, I know I can only personally work with so many clients. And so I do think that for majority of advisors, you know who you want to work with, you know what your business is. And even though we might look similar, who we want to work with as clients might be slightly different. So it helps with the competition part, right? Because there's a lot of variations in this industry. Mm-hmm. So why don't I just kind of state that? So Remit Safety doesn't like AUM. I am an AUM advisor and I love it. I hate billing clients because some people are AUM and fee. Some are, there's all these hybrids. So basically when people say fee only is just referencing that you're not doing commission. And so within fee only, there can be a flat fee, which is like you pay, you know, $6,000. A retainer where you keep someone on retainer and then you kind of pay the more you use the service and you pay a retainer to have them on call. And then it can be an hourly rate as well. That's one way to do it. The way I do it, which is often common, is percentage of AUM and then everything is included. And then other people do percentage of AUM. And then as you want more services, you get flat feed for certain services and AUM covers part of it, but not all of it. So there is like, so people say fee only. There's a lot of variations. And then you can also do commission within that. And so usually, you know, I think it's great that you've interviewed a lot of CFPs. I'd be curious kind of what the breakdown is of how they're doing it. But you usually just choose and build a business that works for you because you want to work with people that you like and that you feel like you can help in a capacity in which you feel comfortable charging for those services.
Absolutely. And I think that's what it comes down to, because I have chatted with fee-based and fee-only CFPs at this point. And everything I've heard on both sides to me sounds valid and quite frankly ethical. So because that's the biggest thing for me that draws me to the fee only side is the whole ethics side of it, you know, conflict of interest, all of that. But a fee based CFP that I chatted with actually made a good point. He was like, well, if you know that most people, especially in America, need insurance because we aren't provided, you know, like basic needs, yep, like healthcare, why wouldn't you get a commission from something that you're going to go suggest that they get somewhere else that you could have just provided in-house? And I'm like, okay, good point. Yeah, like you got me on that one.
Well, what I'll say is often if you say, okay, you need life insurance and term is the cheapest insurance, which you get paid a very small commission on, like a negligible
commission, right?
Very small. And you send them to go get insurance because you just charge them for that piece of advice. And then you say, okay, now you go get it. And then they get sold whole life because that the person that sold it to them wanted the big commission. And they said, exactly. Well, I went there and I know you said term, but when I talked to the person at the insurance house, they said I had to have this. And so then you're like, okay, well, I should have just taken the small commission and done it for them because then I know it was done right.
That's another aspect. That's like, if you send them anywhere else, it's likely going to be a broker dealer who's going to try to upsell them, who is going to try to get them on something like whole life. And at that point, now they're locked in likely and they're losing money. And yeah, so like that adds a whole nother dimension.
So the way I like to think about it is you're either an ethical person or you're not an ethical person.
You're not. Absolutely.
Right? So it is, you're either one or you're either ethical or you're not ethical. And when you get the CFP, you automatically have that fiduciary standard of care, which is doesn't matter what you're touching, anything related to the client, you're acting as a fiduciary, putting their interest first. And so some people want to say like, oh, I'm going to go online. And then here's where it's like, if, depending on the age of the person you're dealing with, they might be capable of going online and shopping for the thing you told them to go shop for. But you might get someone who's either really busy or older and not comfortable with that. And they say, well, I don't, because often what I see, and this is why I do AUM, is, well, can you just do it for me? Like, I don't want it to do
not
this when
everyone.
I come.
Right.
Yeah, not
everyone,
everyone
is a DIYer. Yeah.
And so I think there's a place for all. That's why, like, you know, it's more popular and Ramit's definitely podcast is doing way better because he's like, oh, you should never do this. And I think it's very hard when you're a professional working in this space to have like those hard lines where you say never. You could say most times, often, right? Because it depends on the situation. And so I think that, you know, for certain people, the flat fee is great. They just want to pay. They want to get the advice. They want to make sure they're doing it right. But they do want to do it. They're happy to have the to-do list of, okay, rebalance your 401k. This is what you should do with your stock options. You know, I'm going to go get this insurance you told me about. And they paid for that advice. And that's great. But then you have plenty of other people. And I would say personally, if I hired a professional, like you can hire a personal trainer to give you a list of workouts. I don't want a list of workouts. I need you to stand in front of me and tell me what to do. And then I'm going to argue that I shouldn't do the plank for a minute. I should only really do 45. But I know who I am. And so I tend to work with clients who don't want to go out and do it on their own, where they want to come and they want one-stop shopping and they want me to handle everything. I need to go to see a CPA, give me the CPA recommendations. If I need to see an attorney, can you come with me for the attorney? Me, I don't want to go by myself. I don't want to put the inventory list together. You know, and so you just, and that's how I would be when I hire a professional. I don't want to be involved. Like, I don't, like we have a tech person. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to, I don't care. You tell me what I need. And then just, I want to write you a check and I want to be done. And so I tend to work with people who want a professional like that, where you're going to pay me an AUM fee. Everything will be included. And I basically handle as much of it as I can. Sometimes they call, they're like, can you go to social, like, can you do my social security filing? And I'm like, no, I can't do that. Where you like, this is the federal government. Like, you have to do that. You're like, going to file your social security claim for you. But like, that's the nice thing is you just choose, like, you can really customize how you build the business. And there's all different people out there, right? And so there's people that fit so nicely with flat fee, with retainer, with AUM. Right. You can choose how you build it.
Yeah. And I think what you're really getting at is that every person has different needs. And so that to me is why niches make even more sense, because you can count on a few basic things being the same in terms of goals, in terms of what people are comfortable with, if you pick a niche. And because, yes, you know, obviously most people want to retire. Most people want to, like, as far as that goal seems to be getting away from us, it is a want and a need for most people. And you can appeal to that, right? But if you are pulling from this group that they have 10, hundreds, thousands of different desires, needs, you know, the money they want to use in their life, the money they want to leave in their life, like, it gets so complex from what I know of the field already, that you do have to narrow it down a little bit.
You have to narrow it down a lot, because there's, like, yeah, local government retirees are very different than federal government retirees versus mm-hmm. people that don't have pensions, and single retirees are very different than married retirees, than widowed retirees. I mean, you can, within retiree, there's a lot. And then you have the whole other realm of, well, I want to do Coast Fire or Fire, which is a totally different planning if you're going to be doing it.
Oh, yeah.
So within retiring, which would be the commonality, I mean, you can even get more specific within the retiree realm, or retiring with a special needs child versus not retire, you know, like, that's a different type of planning. So there's a lot, and you'll see that, as you've met with advisors, is you'll see everything. People that specialize in federal governments, people that specialize in local governments, people that specialize in teachers, people that specialize in, you know, dentists or doctors. Those are very specific. And people that specialize in C-suite, because they have different packages, they tend to move around more. People that have special needs children, that's a whole specialty. Yeah. As you said,
I saw a niche today that was like childless people. You know, because their long-term care, their estate planning, like, all of that is so insanely different. And a lot of what the federal government has built in, because a lot of childless people also don't get married. So that introduces a whole new complexity as well, which I just find so fascinating. There are so many different, you know, niches that exist. Like, that in itself is so fascinating to me, because people are so different and their needs are so different.
So different. Yeah, there's, like, we could go on and on, like, we do a whole podcast on, like, all the nuances, because as you said, people are different, and then you can find some commonality amongst, you know, like, the nuclear engineering. So that's, like,
yes, right,
very specific, but that person probably relates really well because he was in that profession, right? And so we see that a lot, that people will leave a profession and then focus on that profession as the advisor because they know it.
Yes. Yeah. And it's, that's super interesting to me, because I think that's right. This field is so interpersonal. It's so, like, you have to have the EQ, you have to have that emotional intelligence to relate to people. And so I am drawn, obviously, to people like me. And so if I was chatting with 65-year-old white guys who came from a completely different field, you know, it's like, I would have, it would be a bit of a loss to relate to them, at least on the EQ side. I could tell them everything they probably needed to know about retiring, about how they needed to, like, I could advise them, right? Once I have that level of knowledge, I could advise them on a technical level, but on a emotional, interpersonal level, I would struggle. And so that's why I think it's really cool. And I also think that's what also has drawn me to the fee-only side, was, like, I have just seen some insane specialized niches that do so well on that side of things. And, you know, it's not necessarily because the fee-only. I just think the community of people, like, especially in XYPN and, like, all those sorts of communities, they seem to know, like, exactly what they want out of their business, who they want to work with. And so I just think that's super cool to see on that side of things.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. I will say that if you're going to do this, the reason I like to do it is because of the relationships, right? Like,
yes,
I like
same.
To build the relationships, and I like to see the progress, right? So you take somebody from point A to point B, or, you know, this is unbelievable to me because I wouldn't agree, but I've had clients say, well, you've saved my life. And now, so Ramit Sethi, I always think of him when I'm like, well, what was that worth? You know, because, like,
right.
You paid
what
me.
What is it worth? That's the big question.
you paid me a fee for that, but I caught you in a fraudulent transaction and they would have wiped you out to zero at 70.
Right.
Because I had a good relationship with you and understood when you were calling with the scammer on the line that this was unusual and I wasn't going to go for it. But you did pay me a fee all those years. So you get to build these really deep interpersonal relationships and really help people in very, not hopefully celebratory moments, but also in very vulnerable moments. Someone gets sick, there's a long-term care need, and then you get to celebrate the big moments with them. And so it wasn't always this. It used to be like advisors were like, stop. And there are still some like where they're more stock pickers and they call.
Yes.
You don't like, meet the person.
Wealth advising and investment advisors. Yeah. And that's a, you know, a lot of teams have
different.
That specialty.
But I like the reason I do it and the reason I like it is I like building and getting to know your clients and building those relationships. And so like you said, if you don't relate to the 65-year-old retiree, you want to pick people that you want to work with. Like when the phone rings, you want to say, oh, yeah, of course I want to. You don't want the phone to ring and be like, oh, I don't want to talk to this person. Right.
Yes,
you want to,
exactly.
Especially if you're going to build your own practice, you want to build it where you enjoy it.
Yeah. And I mean, on the note of being like a queer individual and part of the LGBT community, I have had chats with advisors who told me straight up, they were like, if you don't lean into that, you may not do well in this field. And I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. Thank you, question mark.
I think you should choose what
I am in the South, I should say.
Oh, okay. I don't think that, like, so for instance, I was told because I was an entrepreneur, right, and I didn't go and work for a big, you know, wealth management firm, but I was an entrepreneur, that I should really lean into entrepreneurs. That's what I was told.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what I wanted. You know, actually, like I really enjoyed, I've always been an old soul. I prefer working with people right before retirement, in retirement, in post. I really enjoy estate planning. I really enjoy pensions. I love Social Security, which, you know, for my age was odd to like really
Social Security too. I find it super interesting. So
it's an amazing, amazing program. And so I didn't listen. I didn't lean into what technically I was, which was a young entrepreneur. And they said, go after young entrepreneurs because you'll relate. Because I didn't like the planning. I didn't like the planning just for that. That wasn't as engaging to me as the other stuff. So I disagree. I think you'll be successful as long as you put the effort in, you put the work in, and then you pick an interesting, I think a niche is a great idea. I think you have to have a niche because otherwise it's too broad and it's hard to know who you're attracting. But I don't think because this is who I am, you have to choose the identity, the matching identity for your client base. I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
I think you can if you'd like to, but you don't have to.
The more I think about it, it's like I definitely, you know, I lean just more towards wanting to work with progressive individuals because for me, it's the whole thing that kept me from potentially going into this field was the fact that, you know, I am going to help like high net worth individuals. And unfortunately, a lot of those people sometimes don't really care much about putting that money towards things that I believe that that money should be put towards, right? And of course, you have to be careful with projecting your own beliefs onto your clients. That is something that I've heard, you know, you kind of got to be worried about. And sometimes you grit your teeth and say, okay, that's what you want. We can work with you. But I do feel like the more that I'm able to align and keep my morals and my virtues, you know, in this industry, the more successful I feel like I can definitely translate it into.
Well, that's a niche. So you could say that, you know, one of the things we strive for is charitable giving and social investing, right? And that could be your niche, right?
Yeah.
Because that is a niche, right?
Yeah.
And you say, these are the social investing, like that this is what we recommend. We always like to work with folks of a charitable mindset. We can help initiate that and help you maximize your tax benefits for charitable giving. So that could be your niche, looking for people of, you know, this age that are professionals that are interested in these three things. We really help individuals maximize these three, you know, charitable giving, social investing, and community engagement, whatever that might be. So you can make it, whatever you want. But I think that was bad. You have to lean into it.
I won't obviously mention names, but this advisor, my partner was basically knew this woman and she reached out to me and was like, hey, I heard you're interested in this industry. Like, you should chat with this guy. And he came in hot on that call. And he was basically like, I did my digging and I can tell you aren't like the typical person in this field. And I was like, okay. And he was like, you know, there will be clients who won't work with you because of like how you present, what you like believe in, and what they're able to figure out about you online. And I'm like, well, then I don't want to work with those kinds of people.
And you don't want
it.
Yeah,
they don't, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. And I get passionate about this. I'm sorry, but it's the same thing that I deal with in my current field, where it's like, there are people who take one look at me and formulate their ideas about me, right? And that is something that I can't help. I cannot change the way that they think. So all I can do is show up to work on time, do a good job, go above and beyond to prove them wrong. Like, and it's the same in any industry, I feel, right? Like,
you can't control other, you can never control other people. You can only control yourself. And so, and I think that, you know, that person that was there, everyone has opinions. He clearly had a very strong opinion. But I think you can be very successful, whatever your niche is. I don't think your niche needs to be a mirror image of exactly who you are. I think that components of who you are will fall naturally into your niche, right? You're charitable. You care about the community. You care about social or impact investing. And so those might be part of your niches because that's reflective of who you are as a person and how you show up in the world. But it doesn't have to be a mirror image. It doesn't have to be. They have to look just like me to be my client because that's not fun either, right? Because you want to have some diversity and meet interesting people and
like have some challenges for sure.
Have some challenges. And just because someone doesn't look like you or present like you doesn't mean they're bad, you know? So so that person, I think, had a very, my opinion, is a very narrow perspective of things. So I think that what I have found is I'm not really a runner anymore, but I like to ski and I used to like to run and now walk because I'm getting old. and so what we have found, and it's just like, I didn't notice it, but when I have someone new in the office, they're like, oh, you have like a lot of runners and a lot of skiers. And it just happened, not everybody, but it just happened naturally. And, you know, maybe.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Maybe I wouldn't know that they were runners or skiers, but then they find out I ski and they say, oh, I used to ski a ton when I was younger. I don't do it as much, or I do, you know, still run small races. And you find stuff like you'll find out more as you build the relationships, but you end up finding, and not everybody, but like, you know, commonalities amongst your clients because you're going to want to work with, you know, you're a nice person. You want to work with nice people and you'll get to know your clients. And then you'll say, oh, wow, we actually, I have a lot in common with the people you don't even into, right? You're like, okay, I'm a good fit. I can serve your needs. I can provide a valuable service to you. And I like you and you're nice and I think I can help. And then you match, right? Because and not everybody, just like everything in life, not everybody is a fit. And that's and that's okay. That's just life, right? Like different strokes for different folks. Just because know, you don't want to work with me, because there's going to be people that you're not going to want to work with, and they might want to work with you. And those are always uncomfortable. You just say, I don't think this is the best fit. And that, and that's
doing them a service at the end of the day. You are doing them a service by telling them, hey, listen, this is what I'm passionate about. This is what I feel comfortable. And I think it's, you know, in the beginning, I imagine, especially if you start your own business, you have to be really careful about taking on clients because you're like desperate, right? You want clients because you have none. And
yes, exactly. That is,
you know, I've been telling all the CFPs that I've chatted with, like, I'm trying not to put the cart in front of the horse, but I do think that with being a career changer, it's a huge deal to think about, okay, what do I want? Like, what at this point, with what I know about the industry, what do I think I want at the end? And, you know, if you're having a hard time visualizing that, then you shouldn't just casually jump into a new industry. And so that's why I'm trying to be intentional about thinking about, you know, 5, 10, 15 years down the line, like, where do I think I want to end up? And, you know, on that note, I'm going back to school right now. I'm starting my term at SNHU's online Bachelor's of Finance with a concentration in financial planning. And end of October, it will validate the CFP coursework. So I'll likely just take a review course when I come out. That saves me thousands of dollars.
That's great.
Obviously, that's great. And I'm potentially, I have the materials to get my Series 65 right now, but I'm starting school and I'm still working full time, and I may be taking on a part-time job doing client service work for remote fee-only advisors. So that is something.
That's a better idea. Just because the thing is, you're smart, you'll pass the test, right? So not to say that you won't learn anything by passing the test, but you're just going to study the material to take the material. What I really think with the working in client service is you're going to see what's involved from a like implementation standpoint, like how much paperwork we have, how much compliance we have, and kind of what that involves, because they don't put any of that in. They don't really explain that very well in the test. Like
The 65 is very much just focused on the investments, from what I can tell. You know, it's a registered investment advisor, and I'm interested in the investments, but kind of like you, the more like relational side and just loving to help people with their money is what I'm really drawn to. And getting into the habits, the nitty gritty, the psychology behind it. And so after I get my CFP, because I know that's, you know, that's the gold standard, like that's the fiduciary aspect of that is super important. But I'm super interested in, you know, like getting my CFT. I don't know if you're familiar with that designation, but it's the Certified Financial Therapy designation. And that side is so interesting to me, you know, and that leans more into the lifestyle side of things too.
Yep.
And again, long-term, like I find that stuff super interesting. So it's something worth considering, something worth looking into.
Yeah, absolutely. And the CFP, you'll learn a lot because it does investments. It goes through insurance planning, which you'll find out how important that is.
Estate planning.
Estate planning, retirement planning, tax strategy. So you'll really, really get a solid foundation. But I think also working in the industry, there's a lot they don't teach you, just like every field. Like doing it is very different than learning about it. And so I think that if I were you, I would say working in the virtual client services, you'll learn.
Yeah.
It'll be tedious, and I will say repetitive, probably boring.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
I have to take a test. Yeah. It's apparently I have to turn in up to like 21 documents, and basically they're like, keep 48 hours of your schedule open because it takes different amounts of time for different people. You know, likely it'll take like 4 to 5 hours all in all, but they basically are like, we want to make sure that people can reach out to resources. Like it's kind of open notes, open book kind of thing. It's pretty in depth, but it shows that they really care about like who they're hiring, you know?
Yeah, that's fantastic because I've hired so many people where I'm like, okay, this is what you have to do. Like, and it's a lot of like, you get like paperwork or there's something missing, and then you have to figure out like who do you reach out to solve the problem. And I will tell you, I have seen more people than I care to mention fail at the administrative side of personal finance who had a huge interest in it and had like all the skill sets to do the advising part. But if you don't know how to execute on the paperwork initially, you never get to be the advisor. Because no one starts, like in any job, they're not like, oh, you're here, you're gonna be the top mechanic. Like, you're gonna be in charge of all mechanics.
Yeah. You know everything coming in.
You know, yeah. Like, you passed all the exams, but you have to be able to actually do the work, right? Like, you have to be able to fix the part, not just be in charge of the mechanics. And so the pushback I've often got is like, well, I really just want to work with the clients. It's like, yeah, but if you don't understand how the back end of this works, you can't work with the clients, because they're going to say, okay, I want to do this. And they're going to say, so when do I get my money? And you're going to say, I don't know. Like, I don't know what the process is. I have no idea how, you don't know if there's a form that needs to be signed for it. Like, is it sold today? Is it sold tomorrow? Do you need a verbal today? Do you need a verbal tomorrow? Is it 3 business days? Is it 5? How many forms need to be signed? You can't sit in the client meeting because they're going to ask you so many questions and you're not going to know anything. Yep. And then the client's going to be like, why am I sitting with you if you don't? Because you get asked a lot of nitty gritty questions in a meeting that don't appear to be nitty gritty. But I want to do a Roth conversion. Okay, well, if you don't have any paperwork for that, like, you can say, okay, this is how it works in theory.
Yeah, in theory, right? Yeah.
But like, you're going to do this. Okay, so do it. And then you don't know how to do it. Like, because, and you know, at some point you get an assistant, you know, ideally as your career goes, you hire someone to offload that, but you still need to know the operations of everything so that you can talk intelligently to the client and say, okay, that's going to take a few business days, or before we do that, we really need to do this, because without this, we can't do B without A. And so I've seen more people fail on the administrative when they probably were capable of working with clients, but they just couldn't get through the admin part. And you have to know the admin part, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I think if I eventually want to start my own business, I think it will be so valuable to have to start on that client side of things. Because in the beginning, you are doing everything. You are doing that. You are doing the power planning. You are doing everything. And so, you know, a lot of advisors have told me, oh, maybe avoid that job because you won't be dealing with a ton of the advising side. And I'm like, okay, but I'm not going to be dealing with a lot of that in the beginning of a business. No. You know, like, you have one or two clients when you are really, really trying to reach out and get clients. You aren't doing financial planning for most of your week, you know? And I think it's really interesting to think about, because the smallest things in an administrative process that you don't account for can end up biting you in the butt. I heard this story on a podcast, the most bizarre story, right? They had gotten the paper check from, you know, Schwab or whoever that this guy was transitioning from, and they gave it to him physically and did not put it in an envelope. Well, he puts that check on the back seat, in the back seat of his car, and it flew out of the window onto the highway, and he never saw that check again. And so this advisor was like, so simple, but we started putting our checks into envelopes to hand them into contained heavier envelopes and handed them to our clients. And it's like, no one would ever think about that happening in a million years, right? But that process that they revamped, that's admin. Like, that is, you know, it's like, it's this simple, simple stuff that nothing is ever too simple to gain a lesson from, I think.
Yeah. And what I'll say is, you will end up interacting a lot with the clients and the admin. Like, if you're opening an account with them, you have to call them and go through the questions, and you learn how to talk to the client without having the pressure of being the advisor initially.
Yeah.
And so you'll learn what the clients are going to ask, where they have stumbling blocks, where they need more clarifications. So I'm a firm believer, and maybe in some firms that I don't know, they start you come out of school and they're like, yeah, now you're an advisor. And those are usually commission-based roles where they just...
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and High
failure rate.
To me, being a client service associate early on in your career is the better version of going straight into working for a broker-dealer and doing nothing but insurance sales, right? You're on the phone all the time. You're talking with clients. But you get a salary, and you are in a role that easily transitions into where you want to go in terms of like learning the nitty gritty of it.
Yeah, I think the client service role is a great role to get your feet wet, because you're on a salary and then you're assisting and you get to see everything and how it goes. And you're right, it's not necessarily a broker dealer, but it could be like an insurance company usually it's insurance companies, right? I'm not going to name the names, but you can go in on a, you know, you go, you get out of school, they put you in the exams, you pass your exams, and then they say, okay, now you're an advisor and you have 6 months to hit these thresholds. And they have high failure rates. I think it's like a 90% failure rate because it's hard. Yeah. You don't totally know what you're doing and you have to hit targets. But I think the better way to go into it, in my opinion, where you can learn and get exposure, not under pressure, is like the client service, the CSA role.
Yeah. And I'm really excited about this role because so this test, how well you do on it actually sets your initial pay rate, which I think is so interesting. I'm like,
wow,
you guys really
impressive.
Have thought through this. Yeah. So the pay rate is like $24 to $33 an hour or something like that, which I'm making a decent living wage as is. So it's like, if I can, you know, make $24 on top of what I'm making for 5 to 10 hours of work a week, that's great. Because from the personal finance aspect, I can put that towards paying off, you know, more student debt, because I'm going to have to take some on in my program. So it's great because it's like, I can cushion my emergency fund a bit more, you know. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. And it has, depending on how it goes and if I want to stick with it, it has the potential of, it's contract right now, but it has the potential of becoming full-time, and they're even looking at having like you two employees. And the great thing as well is they have a paraplanning side too, so I can transition into paraplanning from CSA work, because I have mentioned that upfront that I'm more interested in that side of things. And next summer, I'm planning on doing the externship, the power planning externship. And, you know, that also gives you 500 hours of CFP experience
credit
towards the traditional route. And so I just, like, in my mind, I'm like, okay, this could really just, you know, smooth out into eventually either starting my own business or working for a firm for a few years and then starting my own business after that. So I'm really excited and hope this opportunity works out.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think what you're doing is the right way to do it. So what I always say to people with the personal finance track for a career is it's a slow burn. It takes time to build the skill set, find your niche.
So I've heard.
It's a slow burn. And I think that's what turns, I think two things really turn people away. One, the administrative aspect of it, because like people are like, well, I don't want to have to do paperwork. And it's like, yeah, I don't either.
But I honestly don't mind the paperwork side. So I think that's definitely a good
sign. Yeah, that's a good thing. I don't love it. But like, I think the reality of being an adult is that you do a lot of things that you don't love all the time. And most of the time, I don't have to do the paperwork. But sometimes I do have to do the paperwork. And that's fine. That's just part of the job. And when I started, I did all the paperwork. So I learned how to do everything. So I think that's one of the obstacles, because there's a lot of compliance in this industry. And so therefore, there's a lot of paperwork and a lot of procedures that you don't set. And then second, I think it's a slow burn. And I'm not a slow burn individual. Like, I'm the type of person who is like, okay, well, it takes 4 years. I could probably do it in 2.
Yes, exactly. It's like, how can I expedite this process?
Yeah. I'm like, well, I'll just work double. Everyone's going to do 40 hours. I'll do 80. And then I can go from 4 years to 2 years. So I won't discourage that. If you work harder than everybody, you'll go way faster than the industry, which is what I did. I went way faster than the industry. And now I've like chilled out a little.
Yeah.
So you can go faster. But in general, the industry is a slow burn because it takes a while to accumulate the practical experience. Does that make sense?
And like learn the ropes. No, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And with being a career changer on the slow burn front, I am trying, you know, I have told people if someone offered me a job tomorrow and it aligned with my morals and I felt like it was an ethical company, I would take it. I would put my 2 weeks in and take it. And I'm trying not to let that affect my decision making, right, in transitioning into this career. Because like I said in the beginning, it's not a decision that I want to take lightly. It's something that I have spent like over a year, you know, year to 2 years at this point thinking about. And just now I'm pulling the trigger on going back to school for my bachelor's. And I'm glad that I've really thought about it. I even explored software development for a while. And I was like, I want to talk to people. I don't want to sit in front of a computer if I'm not talking to people, you know. Like, again, I'm okay with the admin. I really can channel my focus into like just getting it done, right? And again, the translation between my field and this field, it's like, I actually find the FAA regulations kind of interesting. And I'm like, that's a green flag, probably. That is probably a green flag for, you know, getting into compliance or like getting into all the nitty gritty with Social Security, with Roth conversions, with, you know, all the things you have to do to stay on the legal side of things. Mm-hmm. So I do think that that'll translate pretty well.
Yeah, that's good. And you're doing your research, which I think is, it's also good to talk. There's, as you said, there's a lot of different variations in the industry. So to talk to all the different types of CFPs and who's doing what and what they like about what they're doing, what they would do differently. I think that's all very helpful. I did the same thing when I started.
Great. Yeah. Well, I'm just looking forward to the journey. I think as long as I'm working full-time and not full-time in this specific industry, it's definitely going to be a struggle. I think just, you know, I'm doing manual labor all day. And so coming home, it's a change of pace, you know, if I got to sit down and do my schoolwork, but mentally I'm pretty drained at the end of the day, especially being in a field that I don't particularly enjoy a ton. But I think this will just truly, you know, when I do graduate with my bachelor's and when I do get my CFP, if that's what ends up happening, like, I think it will just feel so well deserved. And it's something I can really, really respect about the effort that I've put in. So I'm looking forward to
And I
to
will
that.
Say this job you can do till you're like 90.
Yes, that's what I love about it. It's the only career that I have explored in my vast exploration of careers. It is the only career that I feel that I could see myself doing for the next 20, 30, 40 plus years, you know, and that to me, again, green flag after green flag. So I'm very excited.
Yeah, they have an issue because you get to a certain point and you become very close with your clients and you know what you're doing, right? Like you're an expert in whatever niche. And I have a lot of older advisor friends and older, I'm saying like approaching 70, somewhere in that age bracket. And they're like, yeah, they want me to retire, but like, it's so easy. Like I'm friends with all my clients. I've had my clients for 40, you know, I've had my clients with me for 40 years. Like I don't want to turn them over to somebody. Yeah. And a lot of them aren't working full time, like not working Monday. Cause that's the other thing.
That's
not
what
working
I love.
Monday.
Yeah.
They're working a few days. Yeah. There's a lot. Cause I spend part of the year in Utah.
That's awesome.
So, and what I will say is it didn't start out that way. It did not start out that way at all. But eventually you get to, it's like climbing a mountain the way I would describe it. It's a lot of work to get to the top and not everyone gets to the top. And then you get up to the top and you're like, okay, I got to where I need to be income wise. The business, employees is always the hard part, I think, when you own your own business.
Absolutely.
And then now, you know, we don't need to take any new clients. I'm going to spend part of my year here. And it gets dramatically easier is what I would say. So that's the nice thing is you put in all this effort and then you get there, you know, to wherever that you decide you want to be. And then it really gets dramatically easier. And so what I've noticed is all these advisors are like, don't you want to retire? And they're like, no, they really love what they do. So why would they retire? They golf with their clients on Thursday. They spend the winter in Florida. So it's a
basically retired. If you think it's like retired with purpose sort of is like how I see it. And I'm, you know, on that note of like long-term, like I think I mentioned it to you in our message, but me and my partner would love to move to France eventually. And I'm actually chatting in a couple weeks with a CFP who lives in France, who does remote work for clients.
That's so,
so
cool.
Yeah. I have leaned into the networking side of this and I'm so thankful I have, because I wouldn't have heard about this a job opportunity without the networks that I've sort of built.
And yeah,
I didn't expect it to happen so soon, you know, to even have a potential job prospect. But it only took like a month of me just making networking my part-time job.
No, that's fantastic. So yeah, I think that's the big, what I say to people is which is my believer in life is everything that's hard work is worthwhile, you know, is worthwhile. Like usually the path is hard if it's really, you know.
Yeah, if it's worth it, right?
If it's worth it. So I do think that the reason a lot of people don't go into the industry is it's a lot of exams, it's a lot of work, there's the admin, you know, there's all these hurdles. A lot of people drop out. A lot of people drop out. They get there. And then I'm like, you're stuck with it. It's such an amazing career path, I think.
Yeah. And if you're not one of the guys whose dad owns a firm, or his granddad has owned the firm before his dad, you know, it's not easy. Like, just simply put, it's not easy to break into the field. And so,
no, it's not. It's not. And here's what I would say. Because I bought my dad's business, but I bought it for a premium because my dad's from the Bronx, so there are no deals.
No, absolutely not.
but there's no deals when you're a street kid from the Bronx. An immigrant family. Everyone's like, why did you pay so much? I was like, you need to meet my father. I got a deal by having the opportunity to buy a family business, but I did not get an opportunity on the multiple. But there's a lot of these businesses for sale. So one thing is what you could do, because I think it is definitely easier than starting at scratch. Now here's the issue, because there's a pro and con to everything in life. If you buy someone else's business, you buy their clients.
Yes.
Right? And so those clients may not align with what you want for a client base. And so maybe you say, I'm going to do that because it gets me going. And then I'm going to take the time to kind of push into the, you know, niche I want, but I'm going to start here. So there's always two choices, right? One, you build from ground up, which I would agree would be harder. And so I would say that from a business standpoint, the easiest thing to do is either start somewhere, right? Or maybe you have some clients, you build some relationships while you're learning and working for somebody else. And you know what you might find? If you work for a small firm, you might not want to ever. You might just love it. You might be like, I'm not worried about it.
I am not ruling that out as a possibility, because, you know, my mom is an entrepreneur and I've always found business really interesting. And even growing up, you know, like I went and sold things on eBay for my parents' friends and took a small cut. Like, I was one of those kids, you know? And so I do feel that I'm drawn to that entrepreneurial side, and I have that spirit, but I also know that it's often romanticized. And I do understand that there is so much sacrifice that comes with it if you are trying to start from the bottom, right? And so I'm not ruling out working for a firm.
Even buying a business, because then you have to do like the transition. And so there's so many different options. It is hard to get into, but buying a business is an option. Starting a business is an option. And then what I would say is, if you find a nice small firm and they give you, you know, they won't give you freedom right away, but if you get to the where you're a producing advisor, you kind of, for the most, you know, as long as you're doing your job, no one will really bother you. You know, like, you might find like, well, this is exactly what I want. I have the freedom and flexibility, and I don't have to be in charge of like everything.
Yeah, that's another reason I'm trying to spread my roots early on with these niches that I'm really interested in. It's like, if I create these relationships with these advisors from the time I'm in school, I mean, who knows, right? They could be like, wow, I really enjoyed chatting with Celine. I've really enjoyed seeing her grow. You know, I know she's doing X, Y, Z, you know, at whatever point I'm at my career. And it's like, let me go talk to her about a potential business venture. Or like, people don't realize,
you never know
how important those conversations are. And so I'm not going into these conversations being like, give me a job. I'm literally just going into these conversations with wanting to be a sponge, like quite literally just wanting to soak up anything of value and everything of value that they may have for me.
But your luck increases the more you're out there. You don't get lucky sitting at home talking to
nobody. The more I play, the luckier I get.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what my mom always told me growing up.
That's what my dad told me. You know, you don't get lucky sitting home alone. You have to be out there meeting people, because you just never know. Yeah. So I think you're doing the right thing. Well, Celine, this was wonderful. Do you have any other questions?
I think that about covers everything that I kind of wanted to chat about today, but I really, really appreciate you taking the time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I wish you the best of luck on your journey, and thank you for coming on so all of our lovely listeners can hear about becoming a CFP.
Of course.
So to follow along, our most up-to-date information is on Instagram, Future Rich Podcast, and you can apply to be a guest on the website, which is www.futurerichpodcast.com. And if you like the podcast, the biggest thing you can do to help us is share with a friend.
time for our disclaimer. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance references are historical and do not guarantee future results. Make sure that you consult with your own legal, tax, and/or financial advisor before making any decisions.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.